You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
This is eCommerce Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and welcome to eCommerce Radio, working in conjunction with eAtlanta, your EPN channel, where you can get in on the inside track and find out what others are doing to experience great results with their online stores. Whether it's the latest tools, e-commerce platforms, or marketing techniques, this is where we talk about how to have a successful e-commerce experience. Today we are with Susan Meyer, CEO of JP Crickets. JP Crickets is the go-to his and her shoe that combines an Italian-made loafer with the comfort of a classic velvet slipper. The relaxed style shoe boasts an embroidered university logo on suede velvet or linen with an all-leather sole. The company also has collections featuring tassels, monogram logos, and custom design. Susan, certainly a privilege to have you a part of eCommerce Radio.
Thank you for having me, Eric.
You're welcome. Tell me, how did you come up with this idea for JP Crickets?
Well, my husband and I wore shoes like this for many years, and was actually at a wedding with some nieces and nephews who were asking about, you know, how we dressed and loved their clothes and shoes, and they said, you know, those are great. And it was sort of an aha moment to say, wow, why don't we merge collegiate with this style? And the fact that fashion is kind of happening, and the so many young kids want to be involved in fashion and start their own business, and just sort of kind of came together, and we went with it.
You gotta love it. Now, what made you want to start a company, especially after taking a long break in order to help raise your children?
Sometimes I ask myself that every day, Eric. However, I kind of describe this in a sports way. It was sort of like a basketball that I kept bouncing back, and it kept bouncing back to me, and it evolved. It started out with being able to learn and go travel to China and Italy and various places and learn about manufacturing and whatnot, and that was intriguing, and of course a good way to keep my mind going and working and to educate myself. So it involved family, travel, education, and then it kind of grew from there, where we were learning bits and pieces of it. And as I said, that basketball bounced back, and you know, one idea after the next worked, and the learning that we did added to what we were trying to achieve. And it just, because it, I won't say it came easy, but a lot of things kept coming, so it just seemed like it was meant to be, because answers were beginning answered.
Your JP Crickets shoes are made in Italy. How difficult was it to find a shoe manufacturer to make the shoes overseas, especially since you're based in Atlanta?
Well, normally I would say it'd be quite difficult, but thankfully, because of my background and my husband's, we both had people who have been in and about businesses like this, and we had a couple referrals. And so I went over, and it didn't hurt that I was half Italian and, you know, could speak with my hands up and going and work with them. And we created a relationship very quickly. I think there was an understanding and a, you know, looking at each other. They're, you know, as big as it seems, in the end, when you get down to, you know, pretty much any business, there's a lot of stories, and there's usually people and men and women who've started it. And in the end, when you get through that initial barrier, if you can communicate with people on a one-to-one personal level, that's where the connection is made. So if you can get introduced, if you can get in the door, and you can become personal, in the end, you know, I was taught early in business, it's about relationships. So we started a relationship, and it happened quite instantly, so I was fortunate.
Why did you decide to have university logos on your shoes, and can you explain the bond that a college alum has to his school?
Oh, gosh, I don't know if I can explain it. I've seen it in many different ways, whether it's painting your body or screaming and yelling or quietly sitting in a VIP box. I think there's so many different ways people express, you know, by giving back, giving money to something, sending their children there, recommending it, interviewing. There's so many things that people do that I think you spend a really important time of your life at a college, and I think there it creates a a close bond. So it can come from an athletic all the way up to a, you know, life-changing moment that people are connected to their university. So we see the shoes being utilized in many different ways, whether it's at a sporting event, at an alumni, at a reunion, or just simply being proud, you know, wearing them day to day.
Can you tell us a little bit about the different shoes that your company sells, whether it's the suede, velvet, or linen shoes that have university logos or tassels or unique designs, and also the little black shoe, et cetera?
Well, you had asked me about, you know, why the universities. I think this shoe has been around a long time, and it actually started, you know, over in Europe, and there's, you know, some history to it. And I think the university part was because there were a lot of people in the marketplace. When you come up with an idea, you know, creating something, you know, you're not really recreating the wheel sometimes, but how can you be unique in what you're creating? Hence, the university, it hadn't been done in this style of shoe. And people like monograms, and they like, you know, logos and different things. So it's an association. People like to be a part of a group. So that's sort of how that works. And it's an instant recognition of, I'm part of that group. I love that group. So that's one. The suede happens to be indicative of Italy, and that their fabric, and that's one of the reasons to go there. Their fabrics are so beautiful. So the velvet has been, this history of this kind of shoe was primarily done in velvet over in England, and it was done much more for dress or from coming in from the street and putting these shoes on in your home. So we wanted to bring this shoe more to an everyday street. So walking out in a city street or a country street instead of wearing them in your home. So they have a full bottom leather shoe as if any other loafer would. And the suede seems to be much more for an everyday lifestyle. And it's just the fabric is really, it stands up to, you know, pretty much everything. Some people say, you know, oh, I worry I can't wear them here, but the suede is quite strong. It's in fashion. It's a beautiful thing that Italy has to offer that we have access to. And, of course, the leather bottom. And they're all baby calf inside, so they're really, really comfortable. So if you want to, people want to be comfortable and look stylish. So that's where the suede came from. Started with velvet, we moved into suede. Linen, because of the nature of where we are in the country, we felt like linen was a relaxed and cool and comfortable way. And then the little black shoe is our logo, actually. It's sort of a, if you wanted to order a custom pair of shoes, you'd have to spend quite a bit to get your custom logo on them. So what we did is we took our JPC logo and we sort of modeled it and scrolled it and made it look halfway between a crest and halfway between a monogram. And that way anyone can really wear this. So it's a great shoe to wear with jeans or tuxedo, and the women's or the men's. And the little black shoe is the women's shoe that I find I wear everywhere, from, you know, yoga to traveling to with jeans, with a pair of shorts. So if I'm going to jump on a plane and go anywhere and I don't want to check my bags, or I want to have that shoe to wear with everything, the little black shoe is that shoe for me. And the black shoe in the men's is that shoe for men, because they can wear it with jeans and with a blue blazer, and they can wear it with their tuxedo if they're going away for a weekend.
Very nice. Do men and women both like these shoes, or what have you learned are the different style preferences for both men and women?
Well, we're doing a mule in the women's, which is sort of a slip-on shoe, and then the men, you know, with the open back, and we find it's really a good transitional shoe, spring, fall, and really all year round in a warmer climate. I am producing a full shoe for women coming up this fall for some of the universities up north, and have had the request because, it, you know, just simply by, you know, the weather, the different kind of weather and cooler weather up north. The men's shoe is, you know, a lot of men don't like to wear socks these days. So they can slip on this shoe. It's fully lined in leather, and they can wear it with a sock or without a sock. So it's very, you can pretty much wear it with anything. And what, you know, as you approach a particular time, and, you know, we're all walking and doing so much, that you really want to be comfortable. People want to be comfortable and look good. You know, it's, you know, a lot of us will wear things because we like it and struggle through the comfort. This is a way to wear something beautiful, luxurious, and be comfortable. I actually moved my daughter into college, and my husband and I wore our shoes at the university, and, you know, I wore them all day. I walk all over New York. I travel Europe, run to museums, and I can wear these shoes look amazing and, you know, be comfortable. And I think that's what people want. They want that understated elegance. They want comfort, beauty, style, and elegance, you know, while looking good. But they want to be able to, you know, wear it all day long and feel good in it.
Today we're joined by Susan Meyer, CEO of JP Crickets. JP Crickets is the go-to his and her shoe that combines an Italian-made loafer with the comfort of a classic velvet slipper. The relaxed style shoe boasts an embroidered university logo on suede, velvet, or linen with an all-leather sole. The company also has collections featuring tassels, monogram logos, and custom designs. Here on eCommerce Radio, in association with eAtlanta, part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, Susan, which shoes so far are your best sellers?
Well, I think we sell a little bit more to men initially than women, and I don't know why that is. This has been a typical, more of a men's type of shoe from its origination. And I think a lot of people like them for tuxedo because they know it. So we're selling more velvet, I would say, and the darker black colors because they go with the tuxedo and it's that little bit of whimsy and fun. And but we're finding that, and what we'd like to do is to recommend and introduce people to the idea of wearing the suede for day to day. They're just really, they look great, you know, casual Friday, with, you know, headed to a golf game. You can, you know, wear your shoes, slip out of them easily and put your golf shoes on and put them in the locker and put them back on and go have a drink or lunch or something. And they're easy in and out and they pack really well. So we're finding that the suede is the one we want to be kind of more all around. But the velvet has probably been leading from the just purely understanding the kind of shoe. We've got some people who've never worn this style, so they're trying to figure out, how do I wear this? So I've been trying to focus a little bit about, on Facebook and whatnot to show people how to get the look, how to wear this shoe, because it hasn't really been an American-style shoe. It's much more of a European, you know, English, and, you know, from a different, you know, it's becoming very prominent in fashion in the U.S., but it hasn't been. So we're trying to teach them how to incorporate this into their wardrobe and how to wear them.
Your husband is a successful businessman, I understand. What's some of the best advice that he has given you as you've started on this new venture with JP Crickets?
Boy, that's a really good question. I have to chuckle. You know, when you start a business, I think a lot of it does come down to you. You have to be responsible for what good and bad happens. And often you have to be responsible for, you know, making things happen. And it's difficult to pass the baton to people who are working for you to let them do things. And I think his best advice to me is he's much better than I at allowing other people to do things. I have a tendency to, you know, want to get involved too much. So I'd say his advice to me would be to let others help and come along in the ride. So I've embraced that, and I've got a lot of women actually approaching me who are in their 40s or their kids are going to school, and they're like, wow, this is so fun. This is so great. I would love to be a rep for you. I'd love to bring it to here or there. So I think it's kind of fun. I've gotten a couple emails over the last week about people who want to join in, and so I'm embracing that, and I'm working with what I call ambassadors and people to come be ambassadors to the brand and help me. So I'm joining in and letting people work with me instead of doing it myself, and that's a learning for me.
What does a typical day look like for you, a CEO running her business?
Well, I kind of go through and check on everything, whether I just was Skyping with Italy before we got on the call, you know, checking on my production, making sure that it's timely and what it's doing, answering a question, of course, checking my bank account and making sure that whatever came in or out did, working with my assistant to, you know, work on things like that. Calling somebody who I think is a formidable person to make a partnership with. I just made a couple calls and partnering with certain people at universities and sending out letters and notes to different people to congratulate them or partner with them or doing different things. So really a lot of communication and working with a couple people that are, you know, working with me to help them with ideas to help promote our business and working on Facebook and social media and setting up trunk shows and anything and everything. I could be doing anything and everything in a particular day, but really a lot of communicating, a lot of calling, a lot of talking, and a lot of following up.
What advice would you give women who, such as yourself, may have worked in corporate America and then taken time off to raise their children and now are getting back into the corporate world as an executive or as an entrepreneur?
I think, you know, anything is possible, and I think the number one thing that I've always learned way back is having relationships. If you have an idea, you know, you often think, well, maybe somebody's done it, or that's kind of silly, or what would somebody think if I did that? And I think you have to lose a little bit of you have to value and remember and use what you did and what you have, but you also have to, you know, potentially wipe that out and put yourself in a different perspective to try to embrace something new. And more than anything, I think advice my husband's given me as well would be, and I tell my children all the time, is you have to take action. If there's something you want to do, even if you don't follow it all the way through and you're curious about it, you know, take some sort of action. If there's something you're interested in, research it. If there's something you want to do, you know, go there, try it. You know, we jumped on a plane and we traveled and found manufacturers. We met them. Whether it worked or it didn't work, you know, it happened. And I remember leaving home saying, wow, I have my car and everything in it, and I guess if it doesn't work, I'll just turn around and drive back the other way on the highway. And you have to take action. You have to take risk. You have to take chances. And it's fun. And there's other people out there doing what you do. And as I said, women emailing me saying, wow, I think that's great. I want to join in. People want to work together, and I think people love to be with other people and help them. And when I ask for help, I get it. I'm amazed at the high-level people that I've asked for help, just simply person to person, and they help me, and they reach out. And I think if you want to do something, ask for help and take that action.
How important was your family support when you started JP Crickets? What advice did they give you, and how did they help you out?
Well, my son and my daughter are really cute about it, and they love it, and they're helping me. They, through the summer, my son helped me on the website and whatnot. I enjoyed giving them opportunities to learn things, and they were very supportive. And my son will say, why don't you try this, or why don't you do that? And, you know, my daughter will as well, and they get excited about it. And it was very important that I didn't do too much, that I, you know, didn't have time to be with them. I think, and of course, my husband was very supportive. He's a quintessential entrepreneur. And when I met him, I was in a very conventional job, and he was approaching after military and other things, entrepreneurship. And I said, "Do it, go for it. I'm here. I'm steady. Go." And it started our relationship of allowing each other to take risk and to take chance. And I'm the youngest of four girls, and I think I was always the one who, you know, didn't care what anybody thought, and I just went ahead and did it. So my family, I think, has been very supportive and has allowed me to do that. I think we've run on the idea that if you like it, do it. If you want it, go for it. You know, as they say, you know, seize the day, and that's something that I've told my family. So they're very supportive, and we've had fun with it, and we bring it back to family all the time, and I get their opinion. So it's all encompassing. It's me alone, it's me together with them. So it's been good.
In terms of the folks that buy your shoes, who would be the ideal target audience that you are trying to reach?
Well, I'd certainly say a sports fan who would like to wear them to an event, of course. I would say a previous alum. I met a fantastic guy who's got, you know, three different degrees from different schools, and he's going to his 50th reunion, and he's wearing them to his reunion. So I'd say an alum that's, you know, is going, wants to wear them. You know, student, current student on campus. Those are the collegiate ones. Of course, the other shoes would be really anybody who wants to look good and, you know, wear something comfortable and beautiful from Italy. And honestly, the price that I'm offering, I think is very competitive, and I think it's very timely and in style. So I'd hate to say there's one, but I mean, definitely in the collegiate line, a fan, an alum, and the other shoes would be people who I'm going to be doing some custom work, and I offer custom work, so people who want to be expressive and design themselves for their own monogram or their own style. And then people who appreciate luxury and beauty. As a person myself, I love nice things, and I think in economic times we want the best, but we don't always want to be pay too much. And instead of them being on sale, they're at a good price every day, and they're a luxurious item. So I'd say people who like luxury, beautiful things, and purposeful. They have a real purpose, and they work for you. So men and women, anywhere from, I don't know, I hate to say an age, but from anywhere. And actually, I'd actually say an age where, you know, my father at 87 years old can put his foot into this shoe and, you know, really love it, and it's comfortable, and it's leather, and it, I always say it sort of becomes your foot, because it does. You know, people who have difficulty wearing shoes that are so hard, these are so soft and beautiful that when you put your foot in there, because of the shape, because they're a relaxed shape, your foot sort of becomes your shoe. It's a custom shoe. It's handmade for all intent purposes. There's very little, you know, machinery that goes into this. And when you put your foot into the shoe, your foot just sort of melts into it. And in a very, very short time, it's your shoe. It's got your imprint in it. So people love that. So anybody who wants to feel good and look good is my customer.
Where do you hope to take JP Crickets in the next few years, and where do you see the company growing in the future?
Wow, I'm living so day to day. That's a good thing. I should think a little more about it. I'm just trying to please customers and people that I have. Something that's very important to me is, you know, upholding these school logos and the pride and what goes into, being able to represent so many of these schools, that they've given me the opportunity to represent their history. So I take that real seriously. I would, you know, obviously I'd love everyone on every campus and every, you know, in every stadium to be, instead of wearing a ball cap or a belt, I think it's a great way to wear and show your pride. So I'd say, I'd love this company to grow to be as big as a company that's selling T-shirts or ball caps to people. So that number I don't really know yet. And because it's such a love thing, you know, I don't know that I'm so intent on it. Someone said to me, a very, very special person to me who's been a very successful person in my life and family member, said, you know, at some point you've got to decide whether it's a hobby or a business. And because I got into it and I enjoyed it in the beginning, and I just really enjoy the people I'm meeting and working with and the product, I'm now at the point where it's more than a hobby. So I do need to think about that question a little bit more and answer it probably at a later date. But I just love everybody, you know, to have them and enjoy them. So sky's the limit, I guess.
Well, tell our listeners where they can experience JP Crickets.
You can experience JP Crickets on our website. We've got actually four different places. We've got jpcrickets.com, which is our main site. If you'd like to peruse and browse our pictures of how to get the look and how to wear the shoes, of course, Facebook, JP Crickets Facebook. And also, we have a blog that's jpcricketsstyle.com. And we've got pictures there and stories there of how to wear the shoes, pictures of people wearing the shoes. And if you want a visual of people actual in them, that would be the Facebook and the blog. And then, of course, to purchase, you can purchase them at jpcrickets.com.
Very good. And in conclusion, what advice do you have to our listeners who may be considering starting their own business and becoming future entrepreneurs in the e-commerce space?
I would recommend that doing e-commerce business is not difficult. I think learning e-commerce versus a conventional business, especially if you're starting it yourself, there is a certain amount of infrastructure that you do have to build. I don't think it's difficult. The problem I see right now in e-commerce for people starting businesses, there's so much help out there that it's difficult to know who to choose to help, to get help from. Whether it's a marketing firm or an SEO, you know, people to help you get your business to go up to a certain level. I think that's the, I would say do it, take the chance, go read on who Bloomberg, Forbes, and these people recommend as good e-commerce site partners, and choose a partner. As they call it, a tool, whether it's, you know, your website designer or that company that helps you to build a website, and you can always start with something smaller and add on to it. And then they say the word scalable. Make sure you have a partner that has a scalable website so that you can grow with it. But I think one of the difficulties, but I think it can be done, is finding partners to work with that you trust. And the way I would do that is if you go and search on the internet a potentially like business that you're starting and ask people. I've gone to other e-commerce people who have businesses similar to mine and said, what did you do about this? What did you do about that? Who do you recommend? Because there's a sea of people out there who can help you, and it can become overwhelming to choose who to work with to help you promote, whether it's Google, whether it's, you know, this company or that company. And often with people who've gone through the process, they can narrow down your time and they can help you get connected to people who they've had great success with, so you can get started sooner and fast and make it an easier choice for you. I'd look for good recommendations from people that you trust.
Very good advice. She is Susan Meyer, CEO of JP Crickets. JP Crickets is the go-to his and her shoe that combines an Italian-made loafer with the comfort of a classic velvet slipper. The relaxed style shoe boasts an embroidered university logo on suede velvet or linen with an all-leather sole. The company also has collections featuring tassels, monogram logos, and custom designs. And the website of reference, once again, is JP Crickets. com. Susan, thanks so much for joining us here on eCommerce Radio, and best of success to you moving forward.
Thank you, Eric. I appreciate the time. It was great fun.
It certainly was. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to eCommerce Radio in association with eAtlanta, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Check us out on Facebook and receive exclusive content that you certainly do not want to miss. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to eCommerce Radio. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.